Welcome to class session 564 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And that bell tells us to pull up your seat, turn up your radio, and get your Bible ready for another Bible lesson. We've been studying about King Jeroboam, how God took the kingdom away from Solomon and his son Rehoboam and gave it to Jeroboam. That is, all but the tribe of Judah that was left to Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Jeroboam ruled over northern Israel, and God promised Jeroboam, "Now you do what I say, the way I say it, and as I keep the commandments that I give, and I'll establish your kingdom forever." But Jeroboam did not do what God said. He tried to set up his own worship and do things his own way, and it was a grievous sin. And so God let Jeroboam know that his dynasty, his sons, they would all be cut off, and they would not continue to reign in Israel. Let's talk about the extent of Jeroboam's sin, and we'll do that in just a moment. I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McBenville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And guiding us through our Bible studies, we're looking at Elam's notes for the Sunday schools of 1924. And here we have come to a section of these notes that is called the extent of Jeroboam's sin. The evil, idolatrous influence of Jeroboam continued through the entire existence of the kingdom of Israel. It was felt, as we have seen, in the days of Jesus. Numerous times the expressions concerning Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin, is repeated in the history of Israel. 100 years before the captivity of Judah, the kingdom of Israel was carried away into captivity, never to return. Now Jeroboam himself reigned 22 years, but we read in 1 Kings 14, 19 through 20, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. And then 1 Kings 14 in verse 30, there was war between Jeroboam and Rehoboam continually. Let's make an application. A strong application of this lesson has been made above. Another application is that while Christians keep none of those feasts that the Israelites kept, Jesus has ordained and left them the Lord's Supper, a great memorial spiritual feast. And he has ordained what must be done to eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine. We read that in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29, where Paul wrote, "I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, This is my body which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the Lord's body." And so the Lord told us concerning this feast what must be done. He also told us by whom it must be observed. It was his disciples. not sinners, but Christians. In Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29, we read, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and he gave to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many into the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I shall not henceforth drink of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So we see what must be done. We see by whom it must be done. But we also see when it must be done. It was to be observed on the first day of the week. Now notice these scriptures. The apostles were told to go teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And we read in Acts chapter 27 one of those things that they were taught and commanded and did. And that was upon the first day of the week. They gathered together to break bread. In 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 23, we read about their assembling together. And it says, "When ye assemble yourselves together, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." What? "Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame which have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread." You see, Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians because they had neglected the Lord's Supper. They had eaten their own feast to satisfy their hunger. But if they were taking the Lord's Supper at all, it was not in a worthy manner. Well, when were they doing this? Well, they were doing it when they gathered together. And when were they gathering together? Well, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 tells us, where Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, that he may prosper, that no collections may be made when I come." They were to take the Lord's Supper when they gathered together. And they were gathered together on the first day of the week. Thereby they had been taught what the Lord had commanded. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, that we're to hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he's faithful that promised. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of our own, forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the day as you see the day draw nigh." Now you pull all this together, and we see what they were doing, and being taught as the Lord commanded, they would gather together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. And they were commanded not to forsake this assembly. So Jesus taught us, and the New Testament teaches us concerning the things we must do concerning the Lord's Supper. What must be done? By whom it must be done? When it must be done? But also why it must be done. It is in memory of him to proclaim his death till he comes. Matthew 26, 26 through 28 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, and he gave to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many into the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you and my Father's kingdom.'" And then we read in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 34, "Let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, if he discern not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at his home. That your coming together be not into judgment. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And there were several things that were not right there at the church at Corinth. And Paul said he'd set them in order. And you know he did. Now the manner, our condition of the heart, in which the Lord's Supper must be observed, is self-examination, discerning the Lord's body, in decency and in order, not as a carnal feast. To change any of these things which God has ordained is, like Jeroboam, to change God's order and God's way. In the worship of God, we can pursue only one of two things and one of two courses. We either do all things just as God has directed, or devise in our own heart what we will do. Some devise that they will observe the Lord's Supper on some other day than the first day of the week. Others devise that they'll observe it once a year, or four times a year, and maybe 12 times a year, or maybe at special occasions like Christmas and Easter. But there's one way to do it in order not to be guilty of devising a time, and that is to meet on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20 and verse 7, the time God has devised, and then to do all and only all He has commanded. You know, the Old Testament is written for our learning and for our admonition. And we ought to learn from Jeroboam, that king that set up his own way of worshiping Jehovah that was not at Jerusalem, how that's not the way you do it. You do God's things, God's ways, or as we sometimes say, do Bible things in Bible ways. And now, we're going to turn a page in our Sunday school book. And I come to a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of April the 13th, 1924. And what we're going to do is start turning our attention now to the history of Israel, the Northern Kingdom. And so, in the following four lessons, we're going to study that history. And we begin with Elijah, the prophet, and the struggle he had with Baal. The text for this lesson is 1 Kings 18, verses 20 through 39. And here's what we read. Ahab sent into all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near unto the people and said, How long go ye limping between the two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I, even I only, am left a prophet of Jehovah, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay the wood on it, and put no fire thereon. And I'll dress the other bullock and lay the wood on and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of God, and I will call on the name of Jehovah. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening oblation that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things. Hear me, O Jehovah. Let this people know that thou art Jehovah, and turn their heart back again. And the fire of Jehovah fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. The golden text for this lesson is Matthew 6:24, No man can serve two masters.